Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that we're saved by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ? Thank God tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope that you're here to enjoy yourself and you continue to pray for me. And my voice, let me get me a little drink of water. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter number 16. We're going to preach a little bit on a subject that God has, man, just put on my heart. And I pray to be a blessing to you. I want to welcome all of you, of course, that have joined in, like we said, to this virtual revival. One of the first. I've been saved 27 years and have never been a part of a virtual revival. I preached a lot of revivals before, but usually with people in the church house. And I will tell you that there is a few here tonight. It's just me and my family, my wife and my three children. And we're thankful to be here tonight. I didn't know if they were coming or not, but I decided, listen, I'm going to come to the house of God. I long to be back at the house of God. And I'm thankful that God has given us the ability to come. I usually do these things on Wednesday evening, but thanks be to God. I'm glad I'm back in the presence of God in His house. And of course, we want to welcome you all tonight. My mind went back to what Brother Kyle preached on earlier this week. And of course, we know that he preached on a God of restoration. And you know, God is the only one that can restore somebody. And to restore something, as Brother Kyle said, it's to bring something back to its original state. Now, I understand that you and I was conceived in sin. We were born into sin, and therefore that requires something of us. The Bible says that you must be born again. And I understand that, listen, it's at that age of accountability that someone comes to know Jesus Christ. But listen to me, aren't you glad to know that God is a God of restoration? And then last night I was sitting there in my recliner and I began to listen to Brother Randy preach. And bless God, he started talking about Isaiah chapter number 6 and how that Isaiah saw the Lord and he saw him high and lifted up. And what got a hold of me was when he said his train filled the temple. And yet that's really what he was preaching on last night, was the very presence of God. Do you know what? When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw him high and lifted up. And that train that he was referring to was the very presence of God. And listen to me, friend. I was by myself out in my office in my recliner chair. And I was sitting there listening to Brother Randy. And bless God, I just about got up and took a lap around the recliner chair, because that's how good it was. I'm telling you, when you're in the presence of God, listen to me, when you're in the presence of God, there's no nowhere else this side of heaven that I would rather be. But tonight I would like to, with God's help, God being our helper tonight, I would love to preach a message to you. And I would title it this right here: What We Cannot Do. What we cannot do. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Christians. Now tonight I want to be an uplift to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to understand something, church, that you and I are in a place in life that we have never faced before. But can I say this, with God's help, bless God, we can get through it. You know something? God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you always, even unto the end of the world. But there's some things, listen to me, friend, there's some things that you and I as Christians, we must realize we cannot do. Now I want to read, if you will, turn with me, the book of Mark, chapter number 16. The Bible says in verse number 9, very familiar passage of Scripture. Of course, we just come through Easter. Continue to pray for our voice tonight. And I'll do my best to get through this. I'll do my best to honor the Lord. But before I read, let me take a drink of water. Mark chapter 16, starting at verse number 9. The Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that he had been with him. Let me start over there. Let me start back to verse 9. Y'all pray for us. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they him. Verse 14 says this: afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And now notice this in verse number 15. The Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now listen to me. That is the words of Jesus Christ. That is not my words. That is not the church's words. That's the words of Jesus Christ. He said this, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we praise you tonight. And God, we need you. Lord, you know that we're struggling with our voice. And God, it's taken everything I've got to just push out enough air to be able to speak, let alone preach. Now, God, I pray right now that you would put your hand upon me. Lord, I can feel the enemy fighting against this. But God, I know this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God, I pray tonight that you'd give us strength, Lord, like we've never had before. God, would you strengthen our voice? God, would you give us just a little bit of time? Lord, would you give us liberty to preach your word? Lord, I pray that you'd touch my throat, touch my body. God, would you lift me up to the heavens tonight? God, may we see you for who you are. And God, may we see us for who we are. Lord, as the preacher said last night, God, I must decrease, but God, you must increase. And God, that's my prayer tonight. And I pray tonight with your help, God, that you would help us to be a helper to those that's watching by the internet. Father, we love you. We pray, God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you for the pardon and remission of sin, maybe someone that's listening, God, we ask that you would help them tonight, God. Help them to realize that all they must do is bow before an almighty God, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender their hearts to you, God, and you would gloriously save them. Father, that's all we're wanting tonight. God, we want to feed the sheep. God, we want to share the word of God with your people. But God, there would nothing do us more joy than to know that one sinner has come home. God, because we know the Bible says the angels in heaven would rejoice over that one sinner that repents. And God, I pray that the word of God would go out through the internet. God, through the waves of the internet tonight. And God, that you'd speak to hearts for men and women, boys and girls. Oh, God, I feel you now. God, would you help us tonight to preach the word of God? Help us, God. We need your strength. We ask these things in Jesus' sweet, blessed name. Amen. Amen. What can we not do? Or what we as Christians cannot do? You know, we are faced with very different times. And I want you to understand something. Not only are we faced with different times, but we are faced with very difficult times. The times that we're living in is very challenging, if you will. Not only this, but listen to me. We are in a place in life where things are constantly changing. I thought about this today as I was studying. The life as you and I know it here recently has come to an abrupt stop. It's almost as if we're on an 18-wheeler and we're headed down the highway going about 70 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden the air brake is pulled and life has stopped just inside for us. Our lives are turned upside down. Let me give you something to think about. Preacher, what are you talking about? Things are turned upside down. Well, first of all, you realize this, that kids are at home. They're not going to school right now. Listen to me. Some of people are working from home. They can't go to work. They're laid off. And some of you tonight that's watching by the internet, listen to me. You may be laid off. You may be in a place in your life that you don't think that God cares for you or God loves you. But can I say this? God loves you. And God loves you unconditionally. Listen, it may sound like that you ain't got two dimes to rub together, as they would say. But can I say this? If you've got the Lord, you've got more than most people. So listen to me, friend. Don't be discouraged tonight. Kids can't go to school. Now I'm hearing that summer camps, church camps, are beginning to be canceled. I'm hearing how that vacations are being canceled. Our lives have turned upside down. Would you agree with me tonight? I just heard the other day that colleges, some college up in the northeastern part of the United States has been canceled for their fall semester. Listen to me. Those things aren't normal. There's some things that's happening around us that we're not accustomed to, that we're not used to. Listen to me. You can't even be around your family. I was over to my mom's the other day. Had to climb up the old the TV antenna to fix their antenna for them. And all I could do was stand outside and wave to them and tell them how much I love them. Listen, we are living in some different and challenging times. Everywhere you go, and listen to me, whether it be the grocery store, whether it be the gas station, if you come into the church, if you're walking down the road, they want you to keep a 6-foot distance apart. We can't even gather in the house of God. Who would have ever thought, Brother Micah, that we couldn't gather in the house of God. You and I are facing some unprecedented times. We are facing some unfamiliar times. And with that being said, that brings a whole nother equation to the problem. When we're not used to living the way that we're used to living, things begin to change. For example, let me just say this, that people become angry. Listen, I hear people talk, and I see people talk on Facebook, and I hear people in the store or at the grocery store or down at the gas station, people's talking about how that they're mad about the government. They're mad about the health directors. And let me just tell you this, and you know what? I found myself there not long ago, and I said, Lord, what's going on? And God, why are we going through what we're going? Why can't we just get back to church? And boy, I went to bed angry, and God began to speak to my heart, and He began to talk to me. And I woke up the other morning, and God says this to me. He said, Mark, I didn't call you to be a governor. He said, Mark, I did not call you to be a health official. He said that I did not call you to be a police officer. But what I did call you to do is to be a pastor. You let those that govern, let them govern. Those that are physicians, you let them be the doctors. Listen, the police officers, you let them do what they need to do. But what I called you to do is to pastor. And listen to me, church. Can I say this tonight? God has called you to be a Christian. And if there's a time in our lives that we need to be Christians, it's the day and age that we live in. Things are different, and because of that, anger has crept in. And you know what? Frustration has crept in. Why can't we open up the government? Or why can't we open up and get on with our lives? And then after anger comes, then the frustration comes, and then the anxiety sets in. We begin to worry and be concerned about, because we've lost our job, or maybe because we're laid off and we don't have the income coming in, then the anxiety sets in. And what happens when anxiety sets in? You begin to wonder and you begin to think about the worst. Well, am I going to be able to make my mortgage payment? Am I going to be able to make my car payment? Am I going to be able to have gas to get to point A to point B? Am I going to be able to put food on the table? So now we're faced with all of these emotions. We have anger build up. We have frustration build up. We have anxiety build up. And then when all of that is said and done, what happens is the worst of all. Then sets in depression. I thought about how many people tonight are without jobs. Those people that maybe have no hope in Christ. They're used to working hours upon hours. But now they're sitting at home, and the only thing, because they have no hope in Christ, is they turn to the bottle or they turn to drugs. Depression has set in, and now from the day they get up, or from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, they're drinking themselves to death. They're doing drugs. So it leads to the question, where do we go from here? What do we do? Well, there's two things real quick that I want to share with you that I need to remind you of something here this evening. First of all, you must realize that God has not changed. God hasn't changed. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ never, ever changes? In the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." So first thing that we need to realize here this evening is that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, listen to me, yes, He is still on the throne. Jesus Christ is still on His right hand. And listen to me, He is waiting, making intercession for you and me. Why? Because He loves us. And can I tell you something? You must realize this tonight, that God has not changed. Not only has God not changed, but secondly, we must realize that there's nothing new under the sun. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, one of the wisest writers in the Bible was King Solomon. And Solomon made this statement 5,000 years ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He said this, "To everything." Now notice he didn't say some things or a few things. He says, "To everything there is a season." In other words, what he was saying is this, that there is a time and a place and a reason and a season for everything that we're going through. He goes on to say, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Now that's verse 1. But now if you'll go on down to verse number 5, I want to show you something that God showed me today. You know, we have this problem. They don't want us to gather. They want us to stay 6 foot apart. They send the things of being a handshaker is probably a thing of the past. And you know something? I begin to think about that. God have mercy on us if we can't hug one another, if we can't love one another. As I was telling you, I went over to my mom and dad's, and I just had to watch through the screen door, had to look at her and tell her how much I loved her. You know what I would have gave just to have a few moments of time to put my arms around her neck, to tell her how much that I love her, and to show her how much that I love her. But you know, Solomon, one of the wisest writers in the Word of God, teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 5. Listen to this, my friend. He said, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know what that word embrace means? It means to hug. You know what? Even Solomon, 5,000 years ago, knew that there would be a time where you and I would not be able to embrace one another. And you know what? I begin to think, and a lot of people said, well, the devil has shut the doors to the church, but God's people's went out. You know, I'm not sure that's the truth. I just wonder tonight if it's not the devil, but it's God. Preacher, how can you say that? Well, I just wondered this, my friend. I wonder if we've not taken for granted the opportunity to come to the house of God to worship, when the Bible says to forsake not the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, especially as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you this? Jesus Christ is coming back. I just wonder tonight, and listen to me, friend, that if God has not just shut the doors to the church to help us realize how much that we miss being with our families, hugging their necks, shaking their hands. And listen to me, I just wonder, my friend, if God hasn't shut the doors of the church and made us distance ourselves because we underappreciate the fact of what a family really represents. Can I tell you this? I wouldn't give nothing. I'm telling you, my family, they mean the world to me. And I can't imagine being separated from my wife and being separated from my children where I couldn't love on them. So I'm wondering tonight if God just doesn't want us to think, bless God, about the time we spend together and how precious that it really is. The Bible tells us to teach us to number our days. Can I tell you this, my friend, the Lord's coming back and it won't be too much longer. I believe that with all of my heart, and the Bible says He's coming back in the clouds of glory. So blessed be to God. I just wonder, listen, the next time that we're able to come to the house of God, instead of coming in moping around wondering what's going on outside the church, that we'll come inside the church with praise on our lips, maybe lift up a hand, maybe take our heart towards God and say, God, you've been so good to me. Oh, thank God. God has strengthened our voice tonight. Thank you for the prayers tonight. But I just wonder tonight if God hasn't just made us to stand still and listen to Him. Thank God tonight we are at a time, and you know what, there's nothing you and I can do but wait upon God. So preacher, what do you say? What do we do in this time? What do we do? Well, I believe we do what Jesus said. If you'll look with me in verse number 15, Jesus gave the disciples very strict orders. Notice what He said in verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, it's been said that because of this pandemic, because of all that's going on, that the gospel has been out across the world more than it ever has before. That's wonderful. That's great. I say praise the Lord. My concern is this, is people getting saved. Listen, I'm telling you what, we can stand back here, we can preach to the church, we can encourage you, but what about that lost sinner out there somewhere that needs saved? What about that drunk that's drinking himself to death? What about that drug addict out there, listen, that's taking drugs, trying to just make it through the day? Can I tell you something, friend? It's important for God's people to be in the house of God. But preacher, what do we do? Well, you do what Jesus said. You go. But I don't want to preach on what Jesus wants us to do. I want to preach tonight on what you and I can't do. What you and I can't do. Now I want you to listen to me and look with me, if you will, at verse number 9. Let's start there. I've got 3 quick points. If you'll just bear with me for just a little bit. There's some things in life that you and I as Christians just cannot afford to do. Listen to me. Jesus said, go. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Preacher, that's what you're doing tonight. You're on the internet. You're reaching hundreds of people. Absolutely. And thanks be to God that God has given us that ability to do that. But listen to me, friend. There's some things that could happen to us as Christians if we continue in this place in which we are at. And I hope and pray that we don't stay exactly where He is. I pray that we learn from the place that we are at in life. You know something someone once said, If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them. The Bible says in verse number 9, "And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils." This woman was troubled. Listen, she was possessed with a devil. Jesus came along. Actually, it wasn't one devil. The Bible says it was 7 devils. And listen to me. Jesus was the only one that could help her. So what did Jesus do? He passed by. And the Bible says that he cast out those 7 devils. But I want you to take notice of this. Jesus has been crucified. He's been put in a tomb. He's raised from the dead. And now he has appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now notice with me, if you will, in verse number 10. "And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept." Now, let me just help you to understand exactly what just happened here. Jesus appears to a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene, one that he had cast out 7 devils, and he tells her to go back to the disciples that used to walk with Jesus and tell them that Jesus is alive, that Jesus has been risen from the dead, that she has actually seen Jesus. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? What can we not do? What can we not afford to do? Well, the first thing that you and I cannot afford to do with being faced with what we're faced with in this life at this very moment in time is this: we cannot get discouraged. I said we cannot get discouraged. Listen, there's nothing to be discouraged about. In verse number 10, she went to them. She told them, listen, I have seen Jesus. Notice what it says in verse number 10. "And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and they wept." She went to them. She said, listen to me. Jesus, the one that you followed, he's not dead. He's got up. He has risen from the dead. And you know what he did? You know what they did? Every one of them, every 11 of them, just like a lot of you, they sat there because life had changed, and they mourned and they wept. Can I say this? The world is looking at the church, and the world is looking to the church now more than ever before. If there has ever been a time that you and I need to be an encouragement to people around them, it's today. Can I tell you this? Jesus saves, bless God. Hey, we ought to encourage people that Jesus Christ is still on the right hand of God. He's making intercessions for you and I. We need to tell people, listen to me, friend, that I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll go with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mary comes and tells them that Jesus is alive. And what do? They mourn and they weep. A lot of you tonight, a lot of us tonight in the church, if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged. I can't see my family. I can't hug my children. I can't go to church. I can't do this. I can't do that. We get discouraged and we begin to weep and we get in that woe is me moment. Listen to me. If there's ever a time that we should not be discouraged, it's today, the day and age that we live. Listen, there's nothing to be discouraged about. Preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, they thought all the hope that they had perished. But can I remind you what Jesus Christ told them? Jesus told his disciples. He said this, listen to me, friends. The time's coming when I'm going to be delivered up. I'm going to be put in the hands. I'm going to be one that's going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified on the cross. Listen to me. I'm going to be falsely accused before Pilate. And listen to me, my friend. You all need to listen to me tonight. Let me remind you what Jesus told his disciples. He said this, listen to me. They're going to beat me with a cat of nine tails. They're going to put a crown of thorns upon my head. They're going to walk by me and they're going to pluck the very hair from my face. They're going to spit on me. They're going to strip me of my clothes. They're going to put that crown of thorns on my head. They're going to put a purple robe on me. They're going to mock me. And you know what? They're going to tie me to a whipping post. And they're going to beat me with a cat of nine tails. And listen to me, friend. And Jesus was telling his disciples that. He said, when they do that, I'm going to be beaten so bad. I'm going to be bruised so bad. I'm going to be so weak. I'm beginning to carry a cross up a hill called Golgotha. And you know what? Listen to me, disciples. I'm not going to be able to do it. Someone's going to have to help me. But you know what? I'm going to go all the way because I love you. And Jesus went all the way that day. And bless God, he told his disciples, I'm going to lay down on that cross. He said, they're going to take nails and they're going to take spikes and they're going to put them into my hands and they're going to put them in my feet and they're going to raise me and hang me between heaven and earth. And I'm going to lay there. I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to hang there 6 hours on the cross. And listen to me. I'm going to look down and I'm going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm going to look up to God and I'm going to say, God, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he said, I'm going to die. But disciples, I want to remind you of something. It's not over. Yes, they're going to put me in a borrowed tomb. Joseph is going to take me off. They're going to put me in that tomb. But listen to me. Don't give up. I'm still coming back. Listen to me. Don't give up. Remember what I told you. They're going to roll that stone over the door. And when they do that, listen to me. Don't give up hope. It's going to seem dark. It's going to seem grim. But can I tell you, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. And but listen to me. Can I remind you what the disciples, what Jesus told the disciples when they roll that stone on the door? Don't give up. Oh, because on that third and appointed day, I will get up. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 19, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. But Jesus told his disciples that. Mary came to them and said, listen, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. But they wept and they mourned. They got discouraged. Listen to me, Christian friend, lost person. There's no reason to be discouraged. Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and prayer changes everything. If you're lost and undone, you're just a prayer away from eternity. Listen to me, my friend. You're just a prayer away of Jesus Christ reaching down his long hand and saving your soul. But that's not all. Jesus Christ, listen to me. He reminded them, listen to me. Well, listen, when I get up out of the grave, it's not going to stop there. Can I tell you this? I'm going back to God. And when I go back to God, I'm coming again. And you know what Jesus Christ told his disciples in John chapter 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen to me, my friend. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Can I tell you something tonight, church? There's no reason to be discouraged. So stop being discouraged. Look up, knowing that Jesus draws nigh. What we cannot do is get discouraged. There's no reason to be discouraged. Matter of fact, David said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 30, he said this, weeping may endure for a night. Oh, but thanks be to God. Joy, joy, my friend, it comes in the morning. Aren't you glad that joy comes? Listen, it may seem dark. It may seem grim. It may seem like there's no hope. And listen to me, friend, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Jesus Christ, he's still on the throne. And listen to me, all of this that's going on, he's got it all under his hand. He loves you tonight, so don't get discouraged. The disciples got discouraged. He had told them that he would get up out of the grave. They didn't believe him. Mary came to him. Wasn't just Mary. The Bible goes on to say there was two other men that was walking with Jesus in the way. Jesus told them to go back and tell them. What did they do? They began to be discouraged. Now I want us to realize not only can we not get discouraged, but secondly, if you will look with me at verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 11, and when they had heard that he was alive, now this is the disciples, he said, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, notice the next two words, believe not. Let me read that again. And when they had heard that he was alive, Mary had came and said, listen, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He has risen just like he said. Listen, these are the very disciples, Brother Micah, that Jesus Christ hand appointed. He said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. But notice what they said in verse 11. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. But that's not it. Notice this in verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country.
And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Listen, not only can we get to a place where you and I is discouraged, but we can't get to a place of disbelief. Too many people are discouraged. But my friend, listen to me. Too many people are at a place in their lives where they do not believe. Not only were they discouraged, but they didn't believe. Two times someone came to them and they did not believe. You know what Jesus does about disbelief? You want to know what Jesus does when people don't believe on Him? You want to know what Jesus does when people say that they believe one thing, but they do another? You want to know what Jesus says when you confess the Lord, but you don't follow after Him? You want to know what Jesus said He would do to those that pretend to be somebody that they're really not? If you'll look with me at verse number 14. The Bible says afterward He appeared unto the 11. Now this is after that two people twice. Mary had come. Then the two men had come and said, Jesus is not dead. He is alive. But they did not believe. Now notice what happened in verse 14. Afterward He appeared unto the 11. This is the disciples. As they sat at meat. In other words, they were sitting at dinner. And He upbraided them. Let me stop right there. You want to know what it means to be upbraided by somebody? You want to know what it means when Jesus Christ Him comes to you and He upbraids you? It means this, that He scolded them. He scolded them. Why did He scold them? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. It reminded me in the time of the Bible in Matthew chapter number 16. There was a man that came and had brought his son with him, and his son had a devil. The Bible says that this man, when he brought his son to them, that he came to Jesus and said, listen, Jesus, my son is a lunatic. There is something wrong with him. Every time we get around fire, he will fall into the fire. He'll run around. And listen to me, we'll be walking by the way, and there'll come some water, maybe a lake or maybe a sea or something like that, and he'll throw himself into the sea. He's possessed with the devil. And you know something, Jesus? Your disciples tried to cast out the devil and to heal him, but they were unsuccessful. And Jesus just went, hey, bring him to me. And the Bible says that when Jesus prayed over him, that the devils departed out of him. And the disciples saw that. Listen to me, friend. It's important for God's people to begin to believe. Listen to me. Just as much as this virus is here, Jesus, listen to me, friend. Just like He did out on that boat. He stepped out on the bow of the boat that day when the seas begin so rough, the winds become boisterous, and He just raised His hands toward heaven and said, peace be still. The wind ceased, and bless God, the laps of the water began to lay down. Listen to me. That same Jesus that was there that healed that boy that was a lunatic is the same Jesus that can tell this virus to get out of here. And friend, I want you to know something. He's able to do it if you believe. You see, the disciples didn't believe. And Jesus made this statement unto them. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, You gave us the authority to go out. He said, You sent us out into the world as sheep among wolves. Jesus, you gave us the ability to cast out serpents and heal people in Your name. Why couldn't we do that? And you know what Jesus said to the disciples? Now this is His disciples. He said in Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Listen to me, friend. God, just as sure as you're sitting there, the sin that has you bogged down, the sin that has your world turned upside down, the worries and troubles that you're faced with, you know what? If you'll just call on the Lord's name, Jesus Himself can take it all away just like that. Listen to me, I was 24 years old. I thought that I knew everything, but I come to Jesus Christ. I realized this, that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. Listen, I didn't have anything to offer Him. All I realized is this, is that I needed a Savior. Oh, and bless God, on January the 12th, 1993, at a coffee table in Westerville, Ohio, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Can I tell you something, friend? That night I became a new creature. new individual, a new person, a new creature in Christ. I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't drink the same stuff I used to drink. I don't smoke the same stuff I used to smoke. I don't eat from the same table that I eat from, used to eat from. Can I tell you this? I now drink from the saucer, bless God. I drink from the well of living waters. Can I tell you this? Jesus Himself, Christ Himself said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I will give you rest. Can I tell you something, friend? There's no rest in life like the rest of Jesus Christ. He said, cast all your care upon me, for He careth for you. I'm thankful to know that I've served somebody tonight that cares for me. And not only does He care for me, but He cares for you too. So don't get discouraged, my friend. Don't get to a place where you don't believe in God. The same God that saved me 27 years ago can save you tonight. That's who He is. Cast your care upon Him. Can I say this? Those of us that's wrapped up in our homes, and maybe you're getting discouraged, and maybe you're just questioning God. God, I'm not sure that I believe right now. It doesn't look too good. Can I tell you this? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can I tell you this, my friend? If you'll just seek the face of God and you're diligent. Oh, preacher, I've been praying. I want to get back in church. I want to see my family. I want this virus to go. Listen to me, friend. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't get to a place where you don't believe. Keep believing. Encourage one another. Encourage in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of the world. Listen, there's some things that we can't do. And first of them is this: we cannot get discouraged, and we cannot get to a place of disbelief. Now, I want to draw your attention to my last point. In verse number 15, we see that Jesus Christ has called His 11 disciples. Of course, Judas has sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. He has went out and hung himself, and now there's 11 left. Discouragement has set in. They all hope has lost them. They forgot that Jesus told them that He would get up from the grave. But now they're sitting around. They're feeling sorry for themselves. They're getting discouraged. They no longer believe. All hope that they had is now gone. Listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. If there's anything that I need you to listen to me tonight, it's this. You need to stop listening to people and start listening to God. How do you do that, preacher? Get your nose in the Word of God. Seek the prayers of God. Listen to me. God wants to hear from you. And if you cry out to God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. Listen to me. Get to a place when you're praying, and when you can't pray no more, continue to pray. And when you can't pray no more, keep praying. And when you get to that place where you finally reach through with prayer, then what you ought to do? You ought to give God a little bit of praise, because God heard your prayer. The Bible says that God's hair is not deaf, it cannot hear. His hand is not too short that it cannot save. Can I tell you, keep praying and seeking the face of God, and keep talking to God, because God is listening to you. But lastly, if there's ever anything that concerns me as a pastor, as a Christian, as a preacher, is this last thing. Jesus scolded His disciples, first of all, because they were discouraged and because they didn't believe. It's almost as if because Jesus wasn't in their presence. And you know, that's how I feel sometimes that a lot of us walk in life. This thing that we're walking in is by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Listen, I was saved by faith. You were saved by faith, not by sight. I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've never heard Him audibly with my ear. But I do know this. I've seen Him with the eye of faith. I have heard Him from the ears of my heart. He has spoke to me as I'm speaking to you. But I know this one thing. There's going to come a day where I'm going to close my eyes in death. I'm going to take my last breath. Can I say this? It's not goodbye forever. It's so long for now. I'll see you on the other side. And when I stop living by faith, I then will start looking and living by sight, because I will see Him for who He is. Listen to me, friend. When I get to heaven, I understand there's a lot of folks that's going to be there. I understand there's a lot of family that's going to be there. And I can't wait to see Him. But can I tell you, the first person that I want to see is the one that gave His life for me, the one that shed His blood for me, the one that willingly lay down on a cross and said, "Here, take my life," the one that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," the one that looked up into heaven and said, "Father, into my hand I commend my spirit." That's the one that I want to see, and His name is Jesus Christ. So don't get discouraged and don't get to a place of disbelief. And thirdly, verse 15, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world." Notice what He said. I want you to listen to that. His disciples have become discouraged. They've got themselves at a place of disbelief. And here's the most serious part. Jesus comes to them, scolds them, and said, "Go." You know what Jesus is telling the church right now? To go. Amen, preacher. You're exactly right. And man, preacher, you're doing a wonderful job. You're on the internet. You're preaching to us on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And listen, I'm at home. I've got my family. This virus can't touch us. Oh, you're exactly right. And thank God the gospel is going out into the world. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, it'll hit the four corners. And when that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. But can I ask you something, friend? Are you getting to a place in your life where that you are complacent? You see, the disciples were discouraged. They got to a place of disbelief, but they also got to a place of complacency. You see, they were used to Jesus healing people. They were used to seeing doing all of these miracles. But what they have failed to realize, that Jesus no longer physically was with them. They now had to start living and walking by faith. And when they didn't see the miracles happen, when they didn't see Jesus get up out of that grave, they begin to question God. And you know what happened? Complacency began to set in. Our hearts, listen to me, church. Those of you that's a Christian, those of you that's a part of the Centerburg Church, those of you that's a part of any church and you've got your name on that church roll, by the way, that will not get you to heaven. The only way to get there is to be born again. But my friend, if you truly are who you say you are, and if you're a born again believer, it should hurt you in your heart. It should make your heart, it should feel like your heart is being ripped out of your insides, knowing that you can't be in the house of God, knowing that you can't hug your family, knowing that you can't have love and compassion and physically touch somebody. That ought to take and rip your heart out. God have mercy when we've got a fellowship through a glass door. That's not what God wants. But it may be what God wants us to learn from. We have come to a place of complacency. Satisfied. I'm satisfied. I can watch church from home. With my family, we're safe. But that don't mean we stop. Jesus Christ said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Well, preacher, how do we do that? We're confined to our homes. Well, let me ask you something, friend. You have the ability to listen to this pastor, this preacher, preach his heart out to you and tell you how much that Jesus Christ loves you. But what about that person that's in the church that maybe is saved and they've not been in church for a month and they're sitting at home not having internet access? Nobody has called them. Nobody's come to visit them. Listen to me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We've come to a place of complacency. All we're concerned about is ourselves and we forget about everybody else. What about that drunk? Listen to me. That he's holding on to life with every ounce that he drinks because he can't come to church, because he can't talk to somebody, because he can't go physically hug somebody and somebody tell him how much that they love him. You see, the disciples were spoilt. You and I as Christians are spoilt. Well, preacher, how do we do it? God forbid, listen to me. When was the last time that you picked up the phone and called somebody to see how they were doing? When was the last time that you got in your car out of the comforts of your home with your family and maybe pulled up into that driveway to that old widow woman out there that doesn't have the internet access and just peck on her door, not to get too close, but just stop by and say, listen to you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you and hopefully soon this will be over. That's what I'm talking about. What about that sinner that hears this message but can physically talk to nobody to lead him to Christ? A place of complacency. I'm not happy that we're not in God's house. I'm not happy that we can't have fellowship. Because David said how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. See, if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged. We'll get to a place of disbelief and we'll get to a place of complacency. You know what that means? Listen to me. The devil is slowly rocking people to sleep. Listen, thinking that everything's okay. Can I tell you what? It's not okay. The world is wicked. The devil's working. And it's time, bless God, that the church does is what they're called to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's time that God's people quit being selfish. Get out the torch of the banner of Christ. Get out here in the world and start telling people how much Jesus loves them and how that they need to be saved. It's time. We cannot get discouraged. We cannot disbelieve. And we cannot get to a place of complacency. The doors are shut. But the gospel never stops. Now what have you done, Christian person, to get the gospel out? The preacher can only do so much. The pastor can only do so much. The pastor didn't call. God didn't call the pastor to go out and lead everyone to Christ. That's the sheep's responsibility. What have you done? Have you found yourself at a place of complacency? What about the old sinner that realized tonight that he's lost but has no one to talk to because all the Christians are safe and secure at their homes? You see, we ought to be heartbroken that we can't reach the world like we used to. But I encourage you, and I believe that God is challenging us to find another way. The gospel doesn't stop because we're quarantined to our homes. You have a phone. Most of you know how to use it, and most of them for the wrong reason. Someone ought to say amen right there. You ought to call somebody. Text them. Get in your car and drive by and tell them how much you love them. Because I'll tell you what, it'll mean the world to them. It'll mean the world to them. Let me end with this passage of scripture. Very familiar scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Listen to me. Get off your seat of self-righteousness. Their souls dying lost, going to hell. People dying of this awful virus. People going into hospitals without the hope of family being with them. They're either going to live or they're going to die by themselves. That ought to break your heart. We ought to pray. We ought to be on our faces tonight crying out to God and saying, God, oh, would you take this away from us? God, would you forgive us for taking and coming into your house? God, would you forgive us for coming in and just nonchalantly coming into the house of God? Not listen to me, God. Would you please forgive me for coming into your house and taking it for granted? God, would you forgive me for not listening to the preacher when he stands up there and preaches? And God, but I'm more concerned about what's at home on the stove. Oh, God, would you forgive me about the lost person that's undone? And God, you told me to go to him, but God, I just didn't feel like I could speak to him. Oh God, would you help us if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The Bible says to humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He said if we'd humble ourselves and pray. I'm wondering if we're just doing more praying about keeping us safe than we are for souls to be saved. Listen to me, friend. If we give up on the lost, the church will soon be non-existent. Because there won't no one be saved. And that's the only reason the church is here. Is to preach the gospel that souls are... That's the only reason Jesus Christ come. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Let me ask you, friend, when was the last time that you prayed and you sought the face of God? I'm not talking about the habitual prayers. Oh God, would you protect me? God, would you look over my family? God, this, God, that. I'm talking about getting serious with God and saying, God, we have sinned millions and millions of babies. God, we have murdered and we have taken their lives innocently, God. And God, would you please? I'm talking about getting serious with God and saying, God, forgive us. Forgive our country of the sin that we've committed. God, forgive our church. God, would you forgive my family? Listen to me, Job, every day of his life went to God on behalf of his children because he was a righteous man. He sought the face of God, and you need to seek the face of God as well. But notice, not only should we humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God, we need to turn from our wicked ways. It sickens God to his stomach. For those that's lukewarm. The Bible said, I would that you'd be cold or hot as to be lukewarm. It makes God sick. He said, when you're lukewarm, he said he would spew you out. He would vomit you out of his mouth. We need to be on fire for God. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. God, we ask that you'd forgive our country of our sin. And if we'll do that, if we'll pray and seek the face of God and turn from our wickedness, notice what he said. He would forgive us of our sins and God would heal our land. Can I challenge you something tonight, Christian? Have you been on your face seeking the face of God on behalf of this country? On behalf of those that's lost? As I said earlier, a lot of people said the devil shut the doors. I'm telling you, I'm just narrow-minded enough to believe that God has us a place that we need to stand still and see the salvation of God. And until we seek the face of God and get out on our faces, I'm not sure we're going to hear from God. But I know this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray and we'll seek the face of God and we'll turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. The disciples become complacent. They got so used to Jesus doing everything. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. It's all been done at the cross of Calvary. But he does say this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lost person, I'm speaking to you tonight. I'm going to come to a close. If you're out there and God has touched your heart and you realize, listen, you may be a Christian and walked away from the Lord. I have no idea. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. You're not where you need to be. Well, preacher, how do I get back? Let me tell you how to get back. Fall on your face. Cry out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I've walked away from you. God, I have let you down. And God, would you please forgive me? And you believe that in your heart. The Bible says he will in no wise cast you out. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Listen, you've been fighting a fight that you cannot win. You've been running from God. Can I tell you something? You've been hiding from him. But David said this, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Listen, wherever I'm at, God, you're there. And can I tell you this? You can run just as fast. You can run just as hard. You can hide yourself behind the bottle, behind the drugs, and all those things. But can I tell you, those things are temporary. That buzz will wear off. That high will go away. But can I tell you this, Jesus will still be there. He'll still be knocking on your heart's door. And what you need to do is confess the Lord and say, God, I'm tired of running. God, I'm tired of fighting. God, I want to come back to you and be like that prodigal son. And when the Father sees you, he'll not only see you, the Bible says he'll run to you. And if you run to him, he'll run to you. And when you meet one another, he'll wrap his arms around you. He'll love on you and he'll tell you how much he loves you. He'll kill the fatted calf. He'll give you the best that he's got to offer you. And he'll save your soul tonight. Because that's who he is. He loves you tonight. So lost person, you need to be saved. If you pray that prayer of repentance, would you do me this favor and this honor? Would you get on my Facebook page and private message me, Pastor Mark Tuggle, and tell me that you've confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and that God saved you tonight? And Christian person, those of you sitting in the comforts of your home, I've encouraged you to do the same thing. You reach out to your pastor and say, "Pastor, I've taken this whole thing for granted. I didn't realize how serious these things were." I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about the desire to be back in church. I'm talking about the desire to see souls saved. I'm talking about God using you for His honor and your glory. See, listen to me. Don't get into a place of complacency. Don't let discouragement creep in. Because when that happens, then disbelief comes. And then when disbelief comes, complacency comes. And don't think that you're exempt. Jesus Christ had to scold His very 11 disciples. Christian person, the same goes for you. If God has touched your heart tonight, I want to know about it. Not to be nosy, not to know the ins and outs, the what ifs, but just to pray for you. Listen, we're in this thing together. And I would just ask you to do this. I would ask that you pray for me. I'd ask that you pray for all the pastors. This is one of the toughest times I've ever faced in my life. One of the toughest decisions that we've ever had to make as Christians, as pastors, to maybe just shut the doors of the church for a little while. But I've come to believe this, that it is the time that God wants us to just sit and meditate and wait on Him. I believe that with all of my heart. But I believe that God's wanting to hear from you tonight. Tonight, if you'll do that, I know that God will talk to you. And if you've done that, would you please reach out to me or your pastor and let them know. I want to dismiss with a word of prayer. May God bless you. The Lord loves you. Listen to me. What we cannot do, we cannot get to a place in our lives. We cannot get to a place in our lives where we get discouraged, where we get to a place of disbelief, nor do we get to a place of complacency, getting satisfied. I'm not satisfied, and I hope that you're not either. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this wonderful evening, this hour of prayer. And God, I have truly felt your presence tonight. And God, I want to thank you. Oh, God, I want to thank you for strengthening our voice. God, you did it. Lord, I knew you would. I thank you for it. God, I pray that your word, God, it didn't go out void tonight or in vain. God, I pray that you touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. God, I long for the day that we can get back to the house of God. But God, I pray that you'd keep us out just long enough for us to realize, God, and have a great desire to see souls saved. God, help us not to get to a place of discouragement or disbelief or, God, in a place of complacency. Oh, God, we need you. We love you. God, I pray tonight if there's someone listening by internet, God, they hear this message, God. Lord, that I pray that they would call on your name. And God, they'd reach out to somebody because your word teaches us, Lord, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God, I just want to see someone saved. God, I want to hear the good news that someone dedicated their lives to Jesus Christ, that their lives was changed tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Brother Mike Gillen. I want to thank you for the invitation. I know this was a little different, but we're thankful that we had the ability to preach the gospel. And I pray that I was a blessing to you. If you don't have a place to worship, please come to our church. You can go to Victory, Marriott, wherever God leads you. Go to a good Bible-believing church where they preach the Word of God. May God bless you until we meet again.